is to keep man fed of God. It's to keep you fed because he can feed you through prayer. He to wait upon the Lord to renew the strength, the scripture says. Prayer is also to keep man directed of God. Allows God to direct you. It puts you in a place where you can hear from heaven, and he can begin to, not by necessarily and not usually by any particular words, direct that. But when you come to God, you don't know what to do, you don't know which way to go, and so forth, you know, and you come out and you begin to pray, and you pray, and you pray, and time God gets through with your heart and prayer, you think, well, Lord, I know what to do. Yeah, I know what to do. I don't need the counseling now. I know what to do. Well, what did he say? What words did he use? Well, he didn't use any words. Well, how do you know? Well, I just know now. I got light. I know where to go. I know that before I didn't know whether to drop out of Bible college, quit church, head off to Alaska, what to do, but now I know. God called me and I should stay here. God hasn't said any particular words, but he's spoken things more than words. He said them to your heart and you already know what to do now because you've prayed. Prayer is to keep, it's to allow faith to build as you stress your faith to God. As you say, Lord, I believe you. I know you've called me. I know you've blessed me. I know that your words are true. You're faithful to your promise. Faith begins to build as you express your faith and prayer to God. Prayer is to allow love to build as you express your love to God. The more you say, thank you, Jesus, I love you, Lord. The more you say, okay, I love you, Lord. You say, yes, Lord, I do love you, Lord. I really love you, Lord. As much as I should, perhaps, but Lord, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Lord, I love you. Lord, I just love you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, I love you, Jesus. I love you. Lord, I love you, Lord. I just love you, Lord. It builds. It's building. The more you say you love them, the more it builds. Just like sweethearts. The more they express it, the more it builds. They're not thinking about it. They don't feed it so much. The more they begin to speak it, the more they feed it. The more they feed it, the more they speak it. And it's building, and it's building. And next thing you know, you can't even see the moon between them. So close together. See, love draws together. Prayer allows man to express his desires and his needs to God. Man has a need to tell somebody, and there's nobody you can tell like Jesus. He understands. He's the best listener in the whole world, universe, and beyond. You can tell anything to him. You can be intimate. You can tell things that you would never tell a friend. You can tell shameful things to him. You can tell embarrassing things. You can tell him anything. And you always know he understands and sympathizes. Nobody will sympathize and everybody will blame. You can say it, you can talk to him. And you need to express yourself. You need to express desire. You know, man has a safety valve that he'll blow it pretty soon if he doesn't express himself. Even frustration and anger. The psychologists say, well, if you're angry at somebody, blow your top at them. Let them have it. Cut them down with shrill words. Make you feel better. Yeah, it doesn't make him feel any better. Tell him what you think about them. Don't hold it inside. You get ulcers. Let them have it. Yeah, that's what they tell them. I mean, not quite in those precise words, but what it amounts to. But you know when you get angry and upset at somebody, to keep from getting ulcers, don't tell him what you think about him and all of his weaknesses so you feel better. Go to Jesus and tell him. Talk to him. That'll get rid of your ulcers. And you won't hurt him and you'll feel better too. So it's a safety valve. Maybe you express your desires and your needs. Prayer satisfies God by the reason the fact that his bride is expressing her love and her faith to him, her devotion to him. We're the bride of Christ. A spouse to him. So prayer is a satisfaction to our lover that his bride will come and say that we love him and begin to express herself. Prayer satisfies God by his children expressing their love and dependence upon him. Even as every husband wants his wife to express her love, every parent wants their child to express their love to them as well. And so it delights his heart. Prayer also satisfies God by his children expressing their wants. We want our children to feel at home. We want them to be able to say, you know, when they want something. When they want something, we want them to be able to express themselves, to feel at home. You know, stick the old grammy hand up and say, me want a cookie. See? Sometimes parents delight, you know, when it's a proper time, when a child has been a proper child, they delight in opening the cookie jar. Mother delights in baking something. Now that little tot is hanging onto to the apron, and he's around, and he's smelling it, and it's in the oven, and what'll be done? When is that going to be done, Mama? See? Pretty soon now. Is it pretty soon yet, Mama? See? And he's waiting for it. And he can hardly wait. And when she finally pulls it out, the raisins bug her eyes out on the cookies, and his eyes are bugged out bigger than the cookies. And she looks down at him, and that big thing he holds with both hands at the cookie, you know. There's something that satisfies the heart of the parent to have their children express the want. How would you like it to have a child who never asked you for anything? Never asked for a cookie, never asked for a present. Anything you gave them was just completely passive. You feel like they didn't have a soul, wouldn't you? Say, Lord, how come I got one without a soul? You want them to ask and express. Peter's home. Prayer is because it's satisfied by God by his children expressing their wants, but it's also because man is made such that the expression, this is important, the expression of man to God draws his heart and his mind out into a further realization to what he feels and to what he is asking, what he is saying. And therefore, he begins to feel the emotions of it. Man, as he says something and does something and expresses himself, begins to feel more lively emotions concerning that. So you see, there are a lot of reasons for prayer, but if you go back and reread the list, you'll find out that prayer is mainly for man's benefit. It wasn't to get stingy old God, so he finally was willing to do what you asked him to do. Well, why don't you have a prayer meeting, brother, and pray for about 4 hours, and then maybe God will be willing. Let's get him woken up. Well, first you have to get his attention. I think about 2 hours. And then you have to be sure that he wants to hear. Then you have to beg him that he finally is willing. Some people got a very subtle idea inside that's kind of how it is. Just keep praying till he finally hears. He hears you the very moment you open your mouth. In fact, he hears you before you even open your mouth. Prayer is to get man ready to receive God. It's not to get God ready to answer man. He wants to answer you more than you even want it. Sure. You know, oftentimes parents, you know when they buy their little children birthday presents and Christmas presents, tiny babies, for themselves, not for them. You give that 3-month-old baby or 6-month-old baby a present, and his parents do. Or a 1-year-old baby a present. We gave Carolyn the first year of birthday present. She was much more delighted in the paper and the ribbon than the present. And that occupied the attention more than the others. They don't particularly want what you're giving them. They don't even know what to do with it a lot of times. They're so young yet. Parents do it for themselves. And they give that little baby, took a beautiful little dress, a red dress that came out like this, had several, what do you call it, several layers, you know, came out like this. My wife kept looking at that in the window with Carolyn, and one day we splurged and we bought that for Carolyn, the beautiful little dress. Why? So Carolyn would feel happy. You know, she could care less what she had. She didn't, you know, feel like, oh, you know, now I got something loving than something. They don't care. They're not unpretentious. It's for mother. Sure, God wants to give us the Holy Ghost more than we want it. He wants to do things for us more than you want. Prayer is not to get God in shape for us, to get us in shape for God. That's why I pray. Now, being that is true, the question then is, how long to pray? How long should the man pray? The scripture says in Matthew 6, 7 through 13, we read, that don't, you know, use vain repetitions as a heathen. They think they could be heard for the much speaking. Be not likened to them. Father knows what you need before you ask. And yet the scripture also says, although it says, we don't need to pray long, continually stay long like a heathen, Yet it says, historically, Samuel prayed all night, Christ prayed all night, Paul was much in prayer day and night for the churches, disciples continued in prayer and supplication until you're filled with the Holy Ghost, even for 7 days it took. The church was continually in prayer for Peter in prison until he was released. And theologically, the scripture says, seek the Lord continually, pray always. In the Greek, it says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Everyone that keeps asking and keeps seeking, keep knocking, shall receive. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints. Pray without ceasing. Pray always and keep praying. Why keep praying? Well, we already see why. Keep us in shape. To keep us growing. Keep our hearts enlarged. Keep us wanting. But why so much prayer? The purpose for long prayer is to get us in a state of desperation for God. It's to get us in a state of desperation for God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst. When your child gets really hungry, you have a morbid desire to give him a great big meal, then right after a big meal, when he just wants to munch on something. You don't feel like feeding him so much because he's not hungry. You give him something, you give him a cookie, and after a while you find it on the floor with one bite out. He didn't really want it, just a kind of a curiosity. But when he's really hungry, you want to feed him. He hungers and thirsts. So continually praying, long praying, is getting us in a state of desperation. Now, people come and seek the Holy Ghost, and I've seen lots of them. I'll close with this today. And I've seen a lot of people. Lord, they pray for the Holy Ghost. Lord, I want you. I mean, they get through about an hour praying. This is days gone by when people really sought the Holy Ghost, and God didn't give it so quickly all the time. People really would seek it. And they got through and said, I never received it. I just gave everything to God, and I just didn't get the Holy Spirit yet. And I said, keep speaking, but don't get discouraged. Keep praying. They'd pray some more, and maybe next time they'd pray 2-3 hours. Next week, they come through, and you know, last week, I thought I was hungry for God, but you know, I realized I really wasn't hungry for God. But now I'm really hungry for God. And it makes it, but I didn't receive it. And I'm so hungry for God. Keep praying, brother. Next day they pray again, they pray and pray for hours. And you know, I say, you know, yesterday, you know, I thought I came to a place of really hungry, but now I'm really getting hungry. And they'll keep on saying that for quite a while. And after a while they'll say, Lord, I'm desperate for you. I've got to have you. A new urgency begins to be taken on them. And then a little bit later they say, Lord, I'm going to die if I don't receive the Holy Spirit. I've got to have you. I'm getting close now. And then pretty soon, you hear them saying, all right, Lord, I'll give that up, Lord. All right, Lord. They already said they've given up everything. If you know, I've given up everything to God now. Still not filled. Keep seeking, brother. Oh. And pushing to pray, and then after a little while, you hear them say, Lord, all right, Lord. I'll be a missionary if you want me to. All right, Lord. They hadn't given up everything. A little bit later, Lord, I'll even do that. Prayer, continued prayer, gets you more and more hungry, more and more willing. Until you're finding, and then finally you hear him say, you know, I've been hiding something all over in the corner of my heart. I thought I was willing, but way down deep inside, I knew I wasn't completely. See? No, God is just bringing it out, getting you emptied of self, so he can fill you with himself. That's just one of the reasons for long prayer, continual praying. A number of others will give you next week. God bless you.
Then we'll talk about audible prayer.
You can't receive the word of God in your spirit without laying aside sin in your heart. That's not saying that you might not sin, but your heart has to not want to. You have to, out of your heart, the desire for sin has to be laid aside if you're going to receive the word of God in your heart. Because how can you receive this in your heart if you have sin in your heart? Now, this doesn't mean sin in your life. I said sin in your heart.
I'm not saying of being overtaken and overcome and tempted and you find yourself weak. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in your heart, your desire, your will. If your heart loves this sin, and your heart loves sin and it loves to do these things, it loves the world, then how can you have the love of God? God says if any man love the world, the love of God is not in him. They're opposite. And so you can't have the love of God's word. You can't receive the word in your heart if you've got the love of the world in your heart. You can receive it in your head, but not your heart. Now, a true Christian is anointed. Christ means, the word Christ means the anointed one. And Christian has the word Christ in it. We are anointed ones. We are followers of the anointed one. We're therefore, and followers indeed, not just word, and therefore we are anointed ones. Now, just to end tonight, I want to explain that in the Old Covenant, when they anointed people with oil, they anointed them for reasons. They anointed them, first of all, to consecrate them for service. It was to show that they're chosen of God. They took the horn and they poured the oil out, and they anointed them to show that God had chosen him, and they consecrated him for a service. And so God anoints us. Christians should be anointed of God. He chooses us, and he consecrates us for a service, the Holy Spirit does. They used to also use oil to protect the person. It was like a coating. It was protecting against the heat of the sun. And if you could scratch some brambles, it gave an extra protection there. It gave you more coefficient of friction. It reduced the coefficient of friction. So it would slide on by, and the heat would be something to protect against sunburn and so forth. But the Holy Spirit also, by his anointing, protects us. His anointing protects us. Keeps us from the excess heat and pressures and the thorns and so forth. His anointing will do that for our lives. The anointing kept the skin soft and flexible so it wouldn't crack and get hard. And so the anointing of God will keep us flexible and keep us soft so we won't crack. They anointed people to relieve pain. They got wounds from falling down and getting gouged with rocks and arrows and bites and so forth, and it would soothe the wounds to relieve the pain. And so the anointing of God helps relieve pain that would come from the wounds of this life. His anointing will help us. Anointing also prevented weakness, because an individual in real hot climates would have a tendency for excess sweating. And the oil would cut down the excess sweating, and if you sweat too much in a real hot climate, you'll get weak without water. And so the Holy Spirit anointing also keeps us from excess weaknesses and getting too weak. We are anointed of God. That means we're chosen of God. Therefore, that means we're directed by God. If he chooses us, he's going to direct us. And if we're directed by God, we will therefore feel God. So we say, I feel God's anointing. He has anointed me. If God anoints you, he means he's chosen you. It means he's directing you, and so you feel his presence. That's what the anointing is. You're feeling his presence in whatever you're saying and whatever you're doing. It's the anointing of God. It means he has chosen you. He's consecrated you for service. And then you yield to that anointing for the service of God. This is all part of spiritual maturity. If you want to grow up in God, you have to be anointed of God. Keep the anointing of God in your life, and you'll grow in maturity. Without the anointing of God, you won't continue to grow in the maturity of God as you should. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. The apple of my eye. Thank you.
faith. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we want to invite you down to the altar. We'll be happy to pray with you. I don't feel led tonight to make an extended altar call, other than to say that if you're here tonight, you just feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, you would like to just kind of cave in and give your life to Jesus Christ, friend, you'll be happy that you did. He'll go with you through the storms of life. You'll still have storms, there'll still be problems, but he'll go with you. He'll redeem you from eternal hell and judgment to come. He'll put a peace and a joy and a sign in your heart and give you something to live for. It'll cost you something. One man said to a Christian woman who saw her love and the blessing of God on her life and the joy in her soul, and he said, "I'd give the world to have what you've got." She said, "Well, that's what it cost me, the world." It'll cost you the world, but he'll give you heaven instead. It's better. And he'll put heaven in your soul. Praise the name of the Lord. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you'd like to know him, we'd be happy to pray with you. Just come right down to the front here. If you're a backslider, you want to come back to the Lord, do come down right now, and as we sing this song, the meeting will be dismissed tonight. If you want to wait around the altar place and go in the prayer room, that'll be just fine. And just avail yourself of the opportunity that God has placed upon you tonight, how you feel in your spirit, what you need. God bless you, each one. I'll see you again real soon. Amen.
Lord, and the Lord,